Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Joe Bender on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Well, do you hold a leadership position in your work, your church, or maybe volunteer organization? If so, maybe you felt a nudge to move from being an ordinary leader to becoming an extraordinary one. Well, my friend, if that's you, then this show is definitely for you, and your listening today is by no coincidence. God has something powerful in store for you today as we talk leadership with my guest, Jenny Catron. Jenny is part of a central leadership team at Menlo Park Presbyterian Church in Menlo Park, California. She served for 9 years as the executive director of Cross Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee, where she led the staff and oversaw the ministry of its 5 campuses. Prior to joining Crosspoint, she worked as an artist development director in the Christian music industry for 9 years. She lives in Menlo Park, California, and you can follow her on Twitter and Instagram. We'll have those listed on our page at myfaithradio.com. You can just click on Connecting Faith and learn more about Jenny that way after the show. For now, welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Joe. I'm looking forward to the conversation today and honored to be a guest. So looking forward to it.
Well, great. You know, you kind of begin with this definition of what it means to be extraordinary. Can you tell us about that and then we can get discussing it?
Sure. Yeah, it's I have always been just compelled by the idea of leadership and the significance of those of us that are in different leadership positions. And, you know, to some degree, all of us have influence, which is where leadership begins, is with influence with others. And so, you know, as I was in more and more places of responsibility and was responsible for leading teams of volunteers, teams of staff, I just found myself really kind of burdened by the need to be a great leader. And so that kind of led me on this journey of trying to figure out, okay, what does it mean to be a great leader? What does it mean to be an extraordinary leader? Because there are leaders throughout history that some were good and some were bad. And so I felt like we needed kind of another word tagged on to the word leader to kind of define what does it look like to really lead in a God-honoring way. So I went on this pursuit of what's extraordinary leadership, what does it look like, and how do you become it? And even just by definition, the word extraordinary means uncommon, unique. It just carries these words that suggest that there's something more significant about someone or something when they're extraordinary. And so that began my quest. And, you know, as a good student, I studied great leaders throughout history. I studied leaders throughout the Bible and, you know, looking for an example of extraordinary leadership. And I, you know, came upon, you know, what I believe, you know, where we kind of get the essence of extraordinary leadership from one of the most foundational elements of my faith right there in the Great Commandment, where Jesus is telling his followers to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, a really common commandment that we're all familiar with. And as I looked at that, I began to see, you know what, if the understanding of that commandment is that's our whole being, I think that's why Jesus uses those 4 elements, heart, mind, soul, and strength, is he's saying that's all of who we are. So we need to, you know, love God with all of that. Well, then I think as we look at leadership, we need to really look at it with that same lens of saying, how do I bring my whole self, my whole being to leadership? And that's where I began to see what I believe extraordinary leadership looks like is when we can apply the Great Commandment to our leadership journey.
So, Jenny, you've written a book called The 4 Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership. And in that, you do talk about leading from your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. So why don't we unpack that a little bit and talk about each of those dimensions so that we can hear your personal stories as well as why you think that's significant to be an extraordinary leadership. Let's just start with heart.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and part of this journey for me, you know, you referenced my kind of bio and that I had started my early career was in the music business, so very much a corporate setting. And a lot of what was praised, acknowledged, rewarded, promoted on was my performance. It was, you know, the fact that I'm a very strategic leader. I would get a lot of stuff done. But what I discovered that is I was often not seeing people in that process, which is kind of, you know, the antithesis of leadership, because leadership really is about people and leading people. But in my early days of leadership, I was really focused on getting stuff done. And so I really lacked heart in my leadership. And I don't think it's a coincidence that even in those four things, the heart, soul, mind, and strength, heart is listed first, because ultimately leadership comes back to people and our relationships with people. And so the heart side of leadership is really that relational component. It's really seeing people. It's slowing down to see people and see who they are and what they need, and having the emotional intelligence to recognize how we influence others and what impact we're having on them, and understanding their needs and their strengths and their preferences, and being able to help draw the best out of people. And so I think the heart is really the start of leadership, because you have to learn to really love people and see people and see them as human beings that you get the sacred responsibility of leading.
So talk a little bit more about that. Why is it so important, if we're leading other people, to really get to know them and allow them to get to know us so that we can lead them? Why is that so important?
You know, I think that, and particularly for those in ministry, or, you know, if you're part of a church and you're on a volunteer team, so many times we're in situations where we have to lead and motivate people, and there's no paycheck associated with that, you know? And so the ability to really find what intrinsically motivates somebody and compels them to be a part of whatever it is that you're leading, whether it be in ministry or in the marketplace, or, you know, just even neighbors, families, and friends, that when you can really connect with who they are as a human, you can see some of their strengths, and you can help connect their strengths to the vision of the ministry or the organization that you're a part of. You really help them bring their God-given gifts to life, along with accomplishing the mission that you're collectively called to. And so I think there's just something really beautiful that happens when you begin to see people and their uniqueness, and you compare that with the ministry and the message of the organization. So it really comes back to seeing that people are the core of this. You know, even if you go back to the Great Commandment, it's, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others. You know, that's the second part of that commandment. It's love God, love others. And so really the heart of leadership is really seeing people and helping bring their gifts to life as well.
Mm. Well, we are going to take a quick break, Jenny. We want to hear more about the soul, the mind, and the strength. And maybe if you're listening today, you are hearing this and think, hey, I want to learn more about what it means to employ leadership or the heart in my leadership style. Well, Jenny does have a few books that we have here to give away. You can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. I'm talking to Jenny Catron about the four dimensions of extraordinary leadership, and we'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Bender, and today I have the pleasure of talking with author Jenny Catron. She's written a book called The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership, and she has much experience in leading people. She's currently currently at Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, but she's also served as an executive director for Crosspoint Church in Nashville and an artist development director in the Christian music industry for 9 years. Hey, Jenny, one thing that I was reading at the beginning of your book book was you found it a little bit funny how to describe your current position as the shared resources leader. You weren't a director. You weren't a manager. People didn't know what it meant. So why do we have so much trouble with this term leader and knowing what it means?
Yeah, you know, it is funny when we put that as my title instead of director or, you know, manager or whatever, it was cumbersome to people. And I think it goes back to this, we've created such a broad definition, I think, in just in our culture of what the word leader means, you know, that people don't know how to put hooks on it. You know, they don't know what exactly that means. And that was part of my discontent as I was, you know, even working on leadership has been a passion for me ever since I can remember. And so I would have strong opinions about what leadership was, but you learned that people bring all kinds of different perspectives to that. And so it was just fascinating to see that people didn't know what to think about my role because the title just, you know, was a little bit cumbersome. And so that was, you know, it was kind of this, in fact, for me, I believe it's like, we kind of need a new definition of leadership. Cause I think John Maxwell is the one that says leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And I love John Maxwell and, you know, have read so much of his stuff and learned so much, but I think sometimes that definition alone can leave it just really wide open because influence can be good or bad. It can be used positively or negatively. And the tension for me was to say, I want leadership just by its definition to be a good thing, an extraordinary thing. Like I want the understanding of leadership to mean we're making positive, powerful impact in the lives of people that we're really entrusted to influence and steward. Mm. And so it was rather humorous, but kind of telling in that I think sometimes the word leader can just be a little ambiguous to people.
So your book, The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership, you outlined what it means to have the dimension of heart, which is really a relational component. So dig into that a little bit and tell those who are listening, how do you get to know the people who you are leading? Is a practice of yours to maybe do some assessments? Do you use StrengthsFinder or spiritual gifts test? Do you just get to know them? What's the best way to really become a relational leader?
Yeah, great question. And I think, you know, I think that can vary from person to person. You know, some people, and that's one of the things is we talk about these four dimensions, all of us are naturally going to be strong in some of them more than others. And, you know, as we walk through them, you'll discover my strongest dimension of the four is the mind. It's the strategic part. And one of my weaker ones is the heart side of leadership. So I've learned as a leader, I have to be much more attentive to the relational dynamic and really getting to know the people that I work with, because I'll go straight to the planning, the tactics, the stuff that we have to get done. And I will be just not intentional enough to really build the relationships and get to know people. So real practically for me, the way this has played out, because I know this is a weak area for me, I will just even start my day by walking around the office and just saying hello and checking in and just being visible and attentive to people. And I often say just slow down to see people, you know, especially if you're somebody wired like me that's very much a driver, very much a get things done kind of person. You have to tell yourself often, slow down to see people. Just see their emotions, see what's going on with them, ask questions. I will very purposefully start my one-on-one meetings with my staff by just taking the first 5 minutes to ask them how they're doing, ask them about their family, ask them about their kids, know their dog's name. Like, you know, just know who they are as a human before I jump into everything we have to get done together. And that simple thing, you get to know people much better. And then I think also being willing to just, you know, structure my day in a way that I have some moments where I can get up and walk around and say hello and see how people are doing. So for somebody like me that can be all task, I have to be real purposeful to build things in that leave room for heart and relationship building. Now, you'll have people that are really strong in this one, you know, that are just naturally relationship people, and they will have to temper that and, you know, be more disciplined to create some of the strategy and the other components of leadership. But in my case, and for those of us who need to develop more of the heart side of leadership, I think there's just some real practical things like that that you can do to be more attentive to the people you lead.
So it sounds like you can actually use that mind dimension to you yourself. You can use the mind dimension, that strategic, to help with your heart and relational areas.
Yeah, and it sounds a little formulaic, doesn't it, at first? But I think that's one of the ways that I can use the dimension of leadership that I'm strong in to help me grow in another one, you know, as I have to kind of schedule it almost, which sounds, you know, a little robotic, but it actually, it helps force me to slow down and to engage with people. And I found that to be really valuable. And the beautiful thing about this is that you start to see the value of it, you know, as you do it and as you build those relationships and you you do slow down to see people, you begin to see the value of that part of leadership that you've just maybe been missing or from the equation. Another thing that I would say too is, you know, just like anything, we are all going to be naturally strong in some areas and weak in other areas. It's part of our wiring. It's part of our personality. It's part of how God created us. And so also recognizing, you know, just the beauty of the body of Christ in that there are people who are really great at the heart side of leadership. And if I can make sure there, I have those kind of people working alongside of me, that can be really valuable to the team as a whole. So for example, I will make sure that my assistant is somebody who's really relational, because I know that they will bring balance, you know, to my team as we're working together. When I worked at Crosspoint in Nashville, a girl named Ashley worked with me for 8 years as my assistant. And Ashley was a very strong heart leader. You know, she just has a real warmth about her. People naturally connect with her, talk to her, engage with her. And so she was kind of my secret weapon in that if I was leading through an initiative and, you know, we had some big new project or, you know, plan that we're implementing and I'm kind of driving pretty aggressively on this, she would be the one to kind of give me a heads up if it was starting to really wear on the team, if I was moving too fast for the team, because they would tell her before they'd tell me, because she was the more relational one of the two of us. And so I think you can also be purposeful about that to say, you know, none of us are going to be exceptional at all of these things. But, you know, as I talk about these four dimensions of extraordinary leadership, it's really about the awareness of the importance of all four dimensions and saying, how do I bring that in or around me to help me lead better and lead with an awareness of those four? So while I may not ever be an extraordinary relational leader, hopefully I'm getting better, you know, hopefully I'm growing and God's growing and developing that in me, but also learning to bring people around me who bring that to the team is really important.
Great point. So let's move on to the soul area, the soul dimension of leadership. And this is that spiritual dimension that some people seem to have so naturally and be able to speak in just the spiritual language. And other people seem to need to work on it. And if you're working in a church or for an organization that has any kind of spirituality attached, this is a really important dimension if you're going to lead people, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's funny because you would think that in a church setting or a ministry setting that's, you know, faith-based, that this would just be an obvious one. And ironically, sometimes it's not, you know, that we can be so much about doing the work of God that we might neglect doing that work with each other. And I think this one is critical because I think this is really what sets us apart as leaders that have leaders of faith, you know, where faith informs who we are as people. We need to let that show up in whatever environment we lead. So in a church setting, a ministry setting, a place where faith is very much a part of the culture, well, then that should be a little bit more natural and easy, you know, might be common to pray at staff meetings or to do devotions as a team. So you can have some real natural places where spiritual leadership will show up. But I'll often have people who are in the marketplace will say, Jenny, it's not appropriate for me to, be talking so vocally about my faith. And I get that because there's, you know, there are dynamics we have to be mindful of when we're in the marketplace and in settings that aren't faith-based. However, I think our faith can still very much inform our work, and it really can be a part of our leadership if we allow it. And here's how. I'm really struck by there's a passage in the New Testament where Paul is talking about praying for wisdom for the leaders of the churches, because Paul's in prison and he can't physically be, you know, leading those churches. He's having to encourage and equip and the leaders of the early church from his prison cell. And I'm struck by, he says he prays for wisdom for those leaders. And I'm always praying for wisdom. God, please give me wisdom to lead. Please give me wisdom to know how to do this. And when I read that, it really convicted me to say, I need to really be praying that God imparts wisdom to my team. You know, that God just gives them wisdom to make great decisions and to know how to lead and to do their work. And so as a person of faith, you can be praying for your staff members, praying that God gives them wisdom, praying that they make good decisions, praying for their family, praying for their health. And you may never tell them that. Now, again, for those of us that are in settings where faith is a part of the culture, well, then obviously you can share that openly. But for people in the marketplace, you can be praying for your team, and they may never need to actually know that. But you can be just praying that God would, you know, reveal himself to them, maybe create opportunities for conversations about faith, that God would just be working in and through them. And so there's a lot of opportunities in that way. And then the other part of the soul part, the spiritual part of leadership, is just that our faith does inform our work, just in how we carry ourselves, how our character, how the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives. You know, just so many of those things, you know, and is the way I'm making decisions honoring to God, is the way I'm talking to my team, demonstrating, you know, is my character showing up in a way that would be honoring to God, and how I'm interacting with the people around me. And so while, you know, prayer, devotions, you know, some of those spiritual elements can show up, you know, in some of our settings, so much about the spiritual side of the soul side of leadership is also just in, you know, is it evident that I am growing in Christ-likeness? And is that coming out in my behavior and my actions, my decision-making, and so forth?
So if people aren't leading in an organization that's faith-based, these are still components. If you're a Christ follower, no matter where you're leading, this should be a component, a dimension of your leadership. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think, you know, sometimes we can have a tendency to just say, well, I can't lead spiritually in the marketplace, you know, because it's not appropriate in that setting. And I would just push back and say, I believe that you can. It may not be something that you're just verbally sharing with people, but I think, you know, your character, how you're making decisions, that, you know, I think the soul part, the spiritual part of leadership is really the distinction that sets you apart. I think it can be the thing that people go, wow, I really appreciated the way she handled that and how, the character she displayed, or I appreciate her integrity in the way that decision was carried out, or how he responded to the team. So it really shows up in just in our behavior and how we carry ourselves and how we act.
Well, leading with the heart, leading with the soul, those are just two dimensions of the four dimensions of extraordinary leadership by author Jenny Catron. We're going to discuss the other two when we come back for the second half hour of Connecting Faith. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We're talking leadership today with author Jenny Catron. She's written a book called The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership, The Power of Learning from Your Heart, Soul, Mind, and Strength. We've been talking about the heart and the soul, and I know for me, Jenny, sometimes those two areas are probably the most difficult. I, like you, tend to feel a lot more comfortable in that managerial leadership position, but I love that you've told so many great stories about how you became a lot more adept at the spiritual and relational part of leadership by just using that skill that you had to kind of make a little game plan for yourself. How does self-leadership help with these dimensions of leadership?
Yeah, and I really feel like self-leadership is where it begins. You know, I often say lead yourself well to lead others better. And, you know, part of this journey for me goes all the way back to I think I was 22 or 23 years old, and I worked in the music business, and I had been recently promoted to a new position as a manager, and I had an employee reporting to me for the very first time. And, you know, so I'm pretty excited and, you know, proud of this accomplishment. And within a couple weeks, this employee was not meeting my expectations at all. You know, I was thoroughly annoyed by the fact that they weren't doing things the way I wanted them done. And I thought, well, this just isn't working out. And I went into my boss's office and said, you know, just kind of began to express all of my frustration with this employee and how they weren't working out and it was all their fault. And, you know, we're going to have to do something about this, let them go. And, you know, and my boss looked at me and he said, Jenny, you're not working with widgets, you're working with people. And if you want to learn to lead, or if you want to learn to lead people, you're going to have to learn how to love them and serve them and see, you know, them as human, you know.
Ouch.
And I, yeah, exactly. I was not exactly the response I thought I would be getting. I thought he would be like, yes, you're right. You know, this isn't going to work out and, you know, we'll take care of this. And it was such a memorable moment for me because he really taught me in that moment just about the sacred work of leadership, you know, that leadership shapes human lives and it is sacred work. Like it is, you know, it is not just, people are not just a bunch of cogs in a machine helping get some goal accomplished, that they are really human beings that we get to help shape, direct, influence, lead, guide. And like I said earlier, we get to bring out their best, their giftedness and pair that with the mission of the organization. And that can be just a really beautiful, magical thing. And so that moment for me, really, it really was the catalyst that pushed me to go, okay, I've got to learn how to be a leader. It pushed me to go, there's some development in me that has to happen in order to really do this well. And so again, all of my natural tendencies were more on the strategic, the management, the accomplishment side. And I had to do a whole lot of work to really understand what does it really mean to lead people well? What do I need to do to grow and develop as a leader in order to do this better? So so that was, you know, that moment was a defining moment for me and just recognizing the significance of the responsibility of leadership. And that while I had some good instincts, some natural gifting, there was some development work that I needed to do to really grow as a leader.
So you write about a few of those opportunities for growth and what we need to do as leaders, how we need to be responsible for them. A couple of things that you wrote down were maybe finding someone who can mentor you, attending conferences, reading books, that these are all things that you had to do for yourself and not expect our organization to do for us, correct?
Yeah. I think, you know, I think that's really important because I think by nature, we all will place expectations on other people to help develop us, help grow us. I mean, I think that it's natural to want somebody to see that and develop that and draw that out of us. But that can easily become an unmet expectation because, frankly, everybody's just trying to survive most days, you know? So if we sit and we wait for somebody to do it for us, I think we're going to be really disappointed. And I really just challenge people, you've got to get out there, you've got to own the responsibility for your own leadership growth and development, you know, seek out people who can speak into your life. I think sometimes we'll hear mentor and we'll think, oh, I've got to find somebody who will give me, you know, 2 hours a week for the rest of my life, And but that's such an unrealistic expectation that then when people aren't able to say yes to that, we get frustrated. We think they don't care, that, you know, they're not interested in our growth and development. And they very much are, but sometimes they just don't have that level of capacity to give. Sometimes, you know, there have been seasons where I've had people develop, you know, spend time with me in a disproportionate amount, and that has been such a gift, but it's very rare. So I encourage people, go look for ways to grow in your leadership. And they're just, we have so much at our fingertips right now. I mean, we can listen to shows like this. We can listen to podcasts. We can, there's, you know, the internet and articles and magazines and conferences. And there are just so many places for us to learn and grow that, that we can initiate on our own. And so I'm just encouraging and challenging people all the time. What are you reading? What are you, where are you studying? Who are you learning from? And just be a fanatic about that. You know, be purposeful to seek out every opportunity for leadership growth and development. And you might look for somebody who you admire and say, hey, can I take you to lunch or coffee and just pick your brain? And it might just be a one-time thing. It might turn into a more regular occurrence. But even that one conversation, if you come prepared and you ask great questions, you're going to glean some wonderful wisdom that will help develop you as a leader. So, so many ways for us to engage leadership development that I think is so valuable.
Great advice, Jenny. Thanks for sharing all those ideas for those who are listening. So we want to move on to the third dimension of extraordinary leadership. And you say that's the mind or kind of managerial leadership. Talk more about that and how that's worked in your life.
Yeah. And this one is the one that probably comes the most natural for me. I'm very naturally a strategist, a manager by nature. I manage and get things done, move the ball forward. I often say that I'm the person who can put feet to vision, you know, put me alongside somebody who has a great vision and a plan, and I'm going to help figure out how to get the plan done. And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the mind part of leadership. And, you know, this is the place, you know, the mind is the place where God imparts wisdom. And it is the place where we think and we strategize. And those are God-given abilities. Now, sometimes we can overuse them, you know, in like my case, I can overuse that and lack a little heart or soul. So I have to be mindful of that. But this mindset of leadership really involves things like discipline in our life. You know, being disciplined about how we manage ourselves, the resources, and the, you know, different things we're responsible for. It's about the stewardship of money and stewardship of people, the stewardship of time. And it's also, there's an accountability piece that comes in this part of this dimension of leadership too, is just that accountability to others and to the people that we're responsible for in our sphere of influence. And so kind of all of those things work together to help us bring that strategic mind, that management component to the leadership equation, which is really valuable and really important to any organization. And typically what I see is that organizations will be either really strong in the heart and soul part. A lot of times ministries will be birthed from this, you know, passion for the cause, passion for people, and, you know, in that ministry calling, which is incredibly important and valuable. But then sometimes they will lack a little bit of the strategy, the structure, the management component, and they will shy away from those things because they're afraid that that's too bureaucratic, could be too corporate. And so they'll kind of shy away from the mind side of leadership because of those fears, which, you know, can sometimes have, you know, are reasonable and understandable. But I think it's clear that God does impart wisdom and give us minds to think, to plan, to dream, to act, and that we recognize it. It's a component of leadership. And then you'll see on the other side of it, you can go into some businesses or corporations and even some, you know, ministries that have gone too far on this side and then lack a little heart and soul. So part of what we're getting at when we talk about the four dimensions is the awareness of they all work together. They all work in tandem. It's our whole being. And so each one of the four need to show up in the right moments and in the right seasons to bring a little bit of health and balance to our organizations and our ministries.
Well, and again, it sounds like if maybe you're a leader who's very strong in, say, spiritual leadership and visionary leadership, the strength component that we have yet to talk about. But if someone's very strong in those two, but maybe not so strong in the mind part, then to have that right-hand person who works alongside you, who can really put legs and feet to your ideas, would really be essential if you're leading.
Exactly, exactly. And that's one of the things that, you know, I just encourage people all the time is that you are going to be, you know, if you're the leader of a ministry or a nonprofit or a corporation, you're likely going to be the visionary, which is, again, like you said, the next one we'll talk about. And it is okay to say, you know what, I'm not great at the strategy or the planning or the finances or the operational things. And I need to bring somebody who, I need to have somebody part of the team who does excel at that. And I think it's just important for that leader to recognize, I don't have to be great at this. I just need to be aware of its importance and its value and its place and bring somebody a part of the team that can help bring that component. So it is, it's again, the beauty of all of this is that I think it just reinforces that God hasn't designed us to operate in isolation. You know, he didn't design us to be alone. And so, you know, we can see as we talk about even these four dimensions that the people that are on our teams, the people that we're working alongside become really important to seeing these four dimensions come to life to create extraordinary leadership among our team.
Well, so we've talked about the heart dimension, the soul dimension, the mind dimension, and the fourth dimension is strength, that visionary leadership. Talk about that and why that's so important and maybe challenging for some people.
Yeah. And the strength, you know, in the passage, it's lead with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the strength piece I equate to the visionary component of leadership because, you know, without vision, people perish. We're familiar with that scripture. And what vision does is vision really provides strength to a team. It helps us know where we're going, why we're going there, why it matters, why it's significant. You know, the vision defines the why. Why are we doing this? Why does it matter? Who cares? You know, and I think Bill Hybels is famously quoted for saying vision leaks, you know. And our job as a leader is to make sure that people are reminded frequently of the vision. I think it's Patrick Lencioni who says you've got to be the chief vision caster, the chief reminding officer, you know, that part of our job is to just keep reminding people of the importance of the vision, of the importance of where we're going and why we're going there. And even though it seems obvious, you know, even though it seems like, well, of course, you know, people know the vision of our organization. Of course, they know what we're doing and why we're doing it. They need to hear it from the leader often, if not daily. Just because, you know, vision leaks, we get lost in the details, the minutiae, the frustrating, mundane, ordinary tasks of our day, and we can forget the why. We can forget the purpose. And so vision really provides that strength to a team that keeps them motivated, energized, and committed to the, you know, the calling that we're tasked with. And so that's really what the strength side of leadership is about. It's really what the importance of that visionary component is. You know, it just brings a sense of strength to the organization and to the team you're leading.
Is there an instance where that strength component might be overused?
Yeah, I think it can become overused when it starts to just be a lot of kind of fluffy ideas or, we all have seen those people who are dreamers that, you know, have an idea a minute and you can kind of start to see the team roll their eyes because they're like, okay, another idea. You know, we didn't implement the last one, you know, and this is where the visionary, you know, somebody who's really strong in the strength, the vision side of leadership needs to be mindful of having that person who can implement things at their right hand, giving them feedback and helping speak into it. Because if you start casting a vision that you never accomplish, that's going to become a negative with your team. Mm-hmm. So you start to see all of these working in tandem with one another that, you know, you as a visionary, as a strength leader, you have that vision of where you're going. Now, hopefully you've covered that vision in prayer. So that nods back to the soul part of leadership, the spiritual part. You know, hopefully you've covered that in prayer, and you know that it really is truly a God-given, a God-directed vision. And then you're putting people around you who are speaking into it, that you're processing it with, you're talking about it with, and they're helping put some feet to that. They're helping put some action to it. So any one of these dimensions, if isolated, is going to have a negative side, is not going to have the balance that I think all four as they work together bring. So you can, visionaries who are just always sharing big ideas, but not actually helping lead us towards the accomplishment of that goal, start to lose a little credibility.
Well, I'm talking to author Jenny Catron today. She's written a book called The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership. We have to take a break, but if you've got a burning question, maybe about something that we've been talking about today, or just a problem that you're dealing with in your own area of leadership, I'm sure she'd be willing to answer those. Or we still have a book to give away of Jenny's. You can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Or you can just submit your question at myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith, and you can submit your question to us that way. We'll be right back with just a few final words from Jenny Catron. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us today. Maybe you're a leader at your organization, your place of work, or maybe at a nonprofit, or even in your church or family, and you want to move that leadership from ordinary to extraordinary. Well, today's a great show to do that. We're talking to author Jenny Catron about her book, The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership, The Power of Leading from Your Heart, Soul, Mind, and Strength. And Jenny, I'd be remiss if I weren't to bring up the fact that a lot of leaders tend to complain about just being burned out, working so hard and at such an unsustainable pace that they have some mental and physical burnout. What's your suggestion or anything that's worked for you as to how to avoid that?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Joe, because I think that is the challenge, in that so many leaders do get to that place where we're just a little bit tired, frazzled, worn out, and the demands and the responsibility of leadership can be pretty daunting. And I think there's a couple things that come to mind. I think we've got to be really tuned and aware of that in our lives. And there have certainly been seasons for me where this has ebbed and flowed, seasons where I recognize, I'm getting tired, I'm exhausted. And you start to know the symptoms of, about yourself. For me, I can be a little short and impatient, and things that I used to love don't bring me joy. And, you have to look for those warning signs in yourself of like, okay, that's a hint. That's a sign that, I'm getting tired and I need to be conscious of this. And then figure it out what it looks like for you. Every one of us rejuvenate differently. So, doing some self-evaluation to say, okay, what rejuvenates me? And simple things can be like, I'll notice, okay, have I been shortchanging some of my time reading the word or praying or in community with other people who just bring me life and joy and energy. And I think that's one of the big things we need to be mindful of, is that, do we have people in our life who can speak into our life? Of course, my husband is one of the first ones to say, okay, Jen, you're starting to run a little bit thin. Your schedule's a little bit too much. You gotta pay attention to that. So you need to have the people in your life who can they will see the warning signs before you do, honestly. And so you need to make sure that you give them permission. You don't just, snap back or get frustrated when they make those observations, but you're sensitive enough to listen to that. There's a great book that Ruth Haley Barton wrote called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. And I just recommend that book for leaders. It's a book I probably read every year because it really is just about that self-leadership, that self-care as a leader, which is really anchored in your spiritual health and just being mindful of that. And so I think that is really valuable. I think sometimes just good seasons of a good Christian counselor to bounce things off of when you see yourself going into those seasons of, okay, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, and having, a good Christian counselor to kind of walk through those moments is good. So I think the biggest thing is be aware and know the warning signs in your life of when you're starting to get run down and frazzled, and then who do you have to lean into, whether it's, your family, community, Christian counselor, et cetera, pastor, that you can talk to and help kind of walk you through some of those seasons. And then, just let it be okay to slow down. I think leaders are guilty of, I can have a tendency to just want to run harder. And, that's just a recipe for burnout. So, giving yourself permission to slow down and do some things that bring some rejuvenation are really valuable, because here's the danger for leaders: that when you're tired, you're burned out, you're stressed, it doesn't just affect you, it affects the people you lead. And when you realize it's, that's the crux of leadership. It's not really about you or for you. It's really about others. And so your health is not just your health emotionally, spiritually, et cetera, is not just for your good. It really is for the impact that you're having on the people you're responsible for leading. And so, I just would say, let that get your attention, because when you're worn out, it is impacting the people you lead as well.
Wise words, Jenny. I think everyone who leads needs to hear that and really take it to heart, because we do sometimes need permission to take a step back and know that the world is going to go on, and it's going to be better if we take a step back and are ready to take that on.
Exactly. Yep. It's amazing how everything is okay. I think sometimes we can think, oh man, if I am gone, or if I miss this, or I have to take an extra day off here, or, I shut my phone off, when I get home for the evening, that the world's going to fall apart. And it's not, it carries on. And in fact, sometimes the people around us are able to step into the gap, and they grow as a result of it. I think sometimes it's a very subconscious thing, I think, for most leaders, that, we think we have to be kind of at the center of the hub and making everything happen. And sometimes when we're missing, other people step into that vacuum and they actually grow and develop, because they're able to step into some leadership that we've maybe had to pull out of. So, it can be a good thing for the people around us too.
Any advice for someone who's maybe stepping into that leadership position for the first time in order to gain respect quickly?
That's a great question. I think, I think this is where you start with heart in leadership, that you really don't come in trying to prove yourself, but really listen and get to know people and get to know the people that you're responsible for. I think, if I go back to that story that I shared when I was 22 or 23 with my first employee, I wanted to prove myself, and out of my insecurity, I started just, over directing and over, kind of trying to compensate for my insecurities or my weaknesses or lack of knowledge. And I would have gained a lot more influence and a lot more respect from that employee if I had just said, okay, hey, how can I, how can we work well together? Tell me about yourself. And you mentioned earlier, is it assessments and things like that? I think those tools are really valuable. Every organization uses different ones, and so I don't have a personal favorite, but everything from Myers-Briggs to DISC to StrengthFinder, I think all of those tools can be just helpful in understanding one another. I think it's an old Stephen Covey, seek to understand. And I would say, as a new young leader coming into a role, really seek to understand your team, really work to get to know them, understand how they're wired, what makes them tick. you know, and hear from them, their ideas and their thoughts, and take all of that into consideration, and then lead, and then, you know, do the things that you think are important for, you know, the organization that you're a part of. Make decisions, but make them thoughtful with good input, and make people feel a part of the process. And, you know, as you earn that influence and that relationship with them, you know, you're going to grow stronger as a team and go, I think Andy Stanley says, go further, faster, you know.
Well, Jenny Catron, thanks so much for joining us today and for writing your book, The Four Dimensions of Extraordinary Leadership. I know a lot of people really benefited from your wisdom and from the heart that you displayed strategically. And we just thank you so much for joining us today.
Joe, thank you. This is fun to talk to you today, and so I'm grateful to have been a part.
Absolutely. If you want to know more about Jenny, you can go to myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith, and we'll have a link to her website there. Thanks for joining us.